from Breakthrough Nutrition. You're listening to NBS Nutrition, a show giving you a no bullshit take on sports nutrition and how it may or may not affect your performance.
Hello, you guys are listening to NBS Nutrition, a no bullshit look at sports nutrition. Today, I am your host, Lauren Valley. I am taking over for Cliff, although Cliff is here. Say hello, Cliff.
Hello, everyone.
I get to interview Cliff a little bit, ask him about NBS, how it came about, and then we will probably end up chatting about who knows what, anything from my most recent race to, I don't know, my dating life, who knows. Okay, so we're going to start off with a couple of questions about NBS nutrition. So if you've ever ordered a bag of NBS, you notice that there's no scoops in it. The label on it is pretty plain. You know, you get it and it's definitely, there's not a lot of bells and whistles to it. And I think that a lot of people who order it, at least a lot of my athletes, I'm a coach, by the way, they get it and they're like, oh, there's, you know, it's not super fancy. And I think that there is a definite reason for that. Correct, Cliff?
Yeah, that's definitely correct. The NBS itself stands for no bullshit. So really our main goal with the product was to focus on what's inside the bag, where the goal was to bring athletes, evidence-based nutrition formulas using the highest quality ingredients and provide it to them at the lowest possible price point. So, you know, when we're not skipping on the stuff that's inside, obviously we have to, work around the cost, aspect from our end. So one of the things that we did was just keep everything super plain, super simple, from the labels themselves to the no scoop. And the no scoop is one of those things too that obviously a scoop costs money, and then there's the issue of where does it end up in a landfill, in the ocean, whatever else. So we're trying to just figure out how we, how do we play our part, and being responsible in that aspect as well. But
sure, it's not that difficult to get out a tablespoon and measure it, but
no,
my athletes, I know they're a little lazy. They don't do their PT exercises and they can't measure a scoop of hydration product out.
It's one of those things that you athletes have expressed interest in getting a scoop. So I think what we're going to do is, provide everyone with one scoop for free. And then if you want another scoop, we'll sell it to you for a quarter or something like that. I've been looking at, can we come up with some sort of fancy scoop? Maybe charge a little bit more for it, athletes will hold on to it. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But yeah, I mean, that's
why. Will you bedazzle it? Can I have a bedazzled scoop for my NBS product?
Of course, we'll put some fancy stuff, some glitter and sparkles and all that.
I love it. I like that the product's not about flash or anything like, I mean, it's just good science-based hydration product, which I think is ultimately what any of us want anyways, because we're spending so much money on everything else in our sport. And it's nice to know that we're just getting charged for basically the product.
Listen, the truth of the matter is that pretty much every nutrition product out there, it's pretty much all the same. Like all of your gels are pretty much the same, right? So you're getting either you're getting glucose now in some products, or you're getting fructose and maltodextrin mixed, or you might have a product that is just strictly maltodextrin depending on the company. But those companies, they're not manufacturing those raw ingredients, right? We all get our raw ingredients from pretty much the same source. There's a handful of distributors and manufacturers, not even really a lot of manufacturers in the US. I mean, it's coming from Europe, it's coming from, China, it's coming from somewhere. So you're going to a middleman and you're purchasing stuff. So the same organic dextrose that we're using in our product is probably the same organic dextrose that who knows, is using in there. So again, we're getting all of our stuff from the same people. At the end of the day, it's sugar and salt. that's the simplified version of what it is. And so why does it need to cost so much? I had a meeting with Robbie Ventura a couple of weeks ago here in Winston-Salem at the Winston-Salem Cycling Classic. And Robbie said, how is it so cheap? I don't like to use that word cheap because the product, the ingredient is not cheap. But I asked Robbie, I said, my question to you is, why isn't everything else this price.
So inexpensive, yeah.
So why are you spending $20 for a 40 serving of hydration? It makes no sense. The crazy thing is that the packaging costs more money than the stuff inside. So, right,
and I think that's exactly why the NBS package looks as simple as it does. And ultimately, it's shoved in the back of my, you know, shelf in the pantry, and no one's going to see it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. I just need it to work on race day, right?
Right. And, you know, that's the thing is, like, we know it works. It's, you know, the formula from, you know, Stacy has been, you know, it's been fine-tuned and tweaked and reformulated over 10 plus years. You know, she started messing around with that stuff forever ago. And, you know, the formula has been tested in the Tour de France. It's been tested in Hawaii. It's been, you know, tested and tested and tested. So that was a benefit to us too. Like, we knew we were getting a formula that worked. We didn't have to spend extra effort or money on that. So we just had to figure out how do we make it work from a business standpoint so that we can provide athletes high quality ingredients at a low possible price point. And that's, you know, so that's what we've been doing. And from our end, there needs to be some more tweaks. But, you know, we'll get there slowly but surely. But, you know, again, just like you said, I think as long as you give athletes a high quality product, they don't really care. They shouldn't care what it looks like, you know, when it gets to them. So,
You brought up Stacy, which I think is something that if you guys don't know, Stacy Sims, who's had a hand in a number of hydration products over the past decade, at least, yeah. Right?
Right.
These formulas are based on her work. And I think that it's fascinating to look at the different, you know, products that have come about kind of because of the conversation that she changed a couple of years ago, basically saying like, wait a minute, we can look at female athletes the same way as men, you know, hydration, we're looking at it wrong. And I think that what's awesome about the NBS is, again, you've got the science-based product at a price that's pretty ridiculous in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's when you look at, you know, the 100 serving unit is $28.99, so basically
that's insane to me. Yeah, but
so you're a little over what, you're 29 cents a serving, you know. So
yeah, mama's got to buy some new shoes, so I dig that. But
hey, it's like we say, you buy MBS and then you end up saving money so you can spend it on other things, race fees and gadgets and toys, and you know, spend it on a toy that's not going to make you any faster. So
I want to know, how did you come up with the name NBS? We know it stands for no bullshit, but why did you settle on that?
It's funny. I remember that day it was a Sunday. I was laying in bed just being lazy, and just my mind was running rampant with ideas. And I've been trying to figure out how do we bring about something new, some sort of new product. And I said, when we started Breakthrough Nutrition 5 years ago, I was like, I will never, ever manufacture product. And I've learned over the past 5 years to never say never, because I always eat my words. But I said, something has to change. I mean, the industry is just, it's run amok. You know, whether it's inferior ingredients, whether it's just people using plain marketing science and not real science, whether it's price gouging, whatever it might be, I was like, something needs to change. So the original idea was to go out, find some products and white label them, something that was high quality and cost effective, and just sell it to our athletes only, just give them another option. So I was just laying there in bed and thinking and playing around with numbers and letters, and, you know, NBS popped up, and I've actually got a picture of the original logo I created. The B was going to be a 3. So for triathlon, so it was going to be E, and the 3 was going to be stuck next to the N so that it looked like a B. And that's where it started. And it just kind of evolved from there. And we started selling, again, white label products to athletes internally. And when the opportunity with Stacy came along, I said, you know what, we're going to do this. I mean, interestingly enough, ironically enough, the first product that we were actually going to bring to market, full market, was going to be a protein, because it's super easy to get, mm-hmm. and then a gel, because it is super simple to recreate. I mean, all a gel is, it's maltodextrin. It's liquid maltodextrin.
Depending on the
brand,
type, right? And if you're adding fructose in it or not. But
why would you? So if you're, you know, if you were going to do that, if you were going to do a gel, all you got to do, I mean, honestly, you can go to the grocery store, go into the baking aisle, grab a bottle of Karo syrup, which is corn syrup, It's liquid maltodextrin. That's the exact same thing that's coming in the gels that you're buying. And you can get that stuff for pennies on the dollar out of the grocery store. So add a little salt to it, and then you'd be good to go. But so that was going to be the first products. And then, like I said, once the opportunity with Stacey came along, I was like, here we are. We've got great formulas. We know they work. We've got a customer database that can't get fulfilled because Ozma was going out of business. And so it was a no brainer. I didn't think she was going to say yes. I had called her a couple of months prior to that and to pitch her our idea about a nutrition log that we've been working on. And that's when I learned that she was, on the outs with Ozma. And then a couple of months after that initial conversation about the nutrition log, I reached back out to her, said, "Stacey, I've got an idea, NBS, no bullshit nutrition," and pitched the idea. And she said, I figured she was going to say no. She's like, "Yep." She's like, "I love it." And then about that time I emailed Dean and she's like, "I just sent you all the formulas and all the research." She's like, "Let's do it." And that was how it started. I mean, I remember I looked over at Melissa, who was on the couch, because Stacey and I were Skyping, and I looked at Melissa like, "Holy shit, what now?" Because you expect her to say no, but she says yes. So I was like, "Now we got to do it." And so we did it. And we just had no idea about the ins and the outs of all of it, and just kind of figure it out. You make shit up as you go, and
fake it till you make it.
Exactly. Sometimes it's right, and sometimes it's not. But you learn and. And here we are today, a little over a year later, and we're, growing inch by inch every day.
Cliff, so I have a team of athletes that I coach, and there's, I don't take any more than 20. So at any given time, I could have 20 different athletes going to races anywhere from, cycling, they might have a crit, to someone doing a full Ironman, someone doing a swim run race. The one common denominator is they're all endurance sports in some way, shape, or form. They're doing an activity for an extended period of time. One of the things that is fascinating to me is when we sit down with each of these athletes, we come up with a hydration and fueling strategy for them, right? It makes sense. You want to know when I need to eat, how much I need to eat, when I need to drink. Do I need to take added salt? Does my drink need branched chain aminos in it? Do I need to eat protein during my race? There's all these different questions that these athletes ask me. But what is one of the things that is potentially an across the board recommendation, knowing that not everyone's the same, in your mind, as someone who creates a product for hydration right now, and you do make a recovery drink, what's something that you absolutely can stand behind and say every athlete needs to do X, Y, Z?
I mean, like you said, listen, every athlete is different. When we talk about men versus women, when we talk about just your genetics and your environmental factors, I mean, really the only thing that I would say that we know with absolute certainty is hydration should be number one. I think you can get by on a race fudging your caloric intake, but if your hydration strategy is not on point, your day is going to end very soon, and it's going to end poorly. So I think that would be one of the things where so when we have an athlete come to us looking for guidance, the first thing we do is we approach their hydration strategy. If we can nail that down, a plan that works for them, then what we do is we build their caloric intake around that, looking at different sources or whatever else. But yeah, I really do think, across the board, the more important aspect for all athletes, I mean, even if you don't consider yourself an endurance athlete, even if you're a strength and conditioning athlete or whatever else, hydration is going to be key to your performance.
Yeah, I think athletes don't realize sometimes that you can come back from low calories in about 20 minutes, right? Just if you're on race course, Coca-Cola, any type of straight carb that you can get, you're going to feel better. But the minute that your blood plasma volume drops, it can take up to, 48 hours to recover?
Yeah. I mean, this is what we tell people. So if you, just like you said, if you get behind on your calories, it's not a big deal. Like you said, taking in a little bit of sugar, because your body never totally depletes itself of glycogen. There's always glycogen stored. So as soon as that sugar hits your tongue, your body starts to release glucose into your system for energy. That's why when you get hangry, right? And then as soon as you take that bite, you instantly feel better. Well,
I've never been hangry before in my entire life, Cliff. I'd like you to know that. And all of the listeners out there, I've never, ever been hangry.
Yeah, I believe
that. A complete lie.
So when you're hangry, right, you take a bite of something and then you instantly feel better. Well, sure. That bite of food didn't just instantly get into your, get processed and digested and give you energy. It's because your body now knows that, hey, we've got food, so let's release some of this stored energy we have. So coming back from a caloric deficit is not that big a deal. But if you get behind the eight ball in your hydration, your day is done. That's why my biggest pet peeve with drinking to thirst. I mean, if you're thirsty, you're already behind the eight ball, right? You're already putting yourself into a deficit. So, I mean, I highly advocate putting yourself on a hydration plan, a strategy, whether that's every 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it might be, so that you don't ever get to that point.
What would be a recommendation? I know what I would tell my athletes, curious what you would say. Let's say you're out on a course, and one of the things that I find the most difficult to coach an athlete through is troubleshooting. So on race day, if an athlete, it's their first, again, we'll use Ironman as an example. If it's their first Ironman, and let's say they lose all of their bottles, they drink NBS religiously. For some reason, there is a catastrophic event where all these bottles go flying off their bike and they have no more NBS. And they have to rely on what's on the race course for them. How do you handle the fact that the provided drink is a very high concentrate of carbohydrate versus what you guys provide? How would you tell someone to negotiate that?
What's on the course now? Is it the Gatorade?
Now it's Gatorade. Mm-hmm.
Because I know that there was some courses are going to G2, which why and
what? Seriously? Yeah. I didn't know that.
I saw a thread on that the other day. But so you're drinking Gatorade Endurance, and here's the thing, Gatorade, they changed the industry. When you look at some of your
They started the industry essentially.
They did, but even in terms of sports nutrition, I mean, so you look at there were a couple of big things that happened. The invention of Power Bar and the invention of Gatorade, right? It just changed the whole dynamic of everything. And it's to me, it's an unfortunate thing that you've got all of this money behind Gatorade and you've got all these sports labs. And I just don't understand why there hasn't been any sort of progression. Now, from their product specifically. Yeah. I mean, they introduced Gatorade Endurance with, using sodium citrate, which is what you want to use in our product. But, there's still some work to be done. So let's say we're getting off topic here, but you're on course, you lose all your bottles, you've got Gatorade Endurance on course. So what you'll do is take a bottle of Gatorade Endurance, dump half of it out, fill the other half with plain water, and then you're at least going to have a less dense product, something that's going to absorb a little bit better.
Right. So you're going to want to dilute it and then
by half.
Okay.
So, I mean, listen, if you want a really poor man's NBS, you can go buy powdered Gatorade and dilute it by half and add a little sodium citrate, I guess, if you wanted to, but.
And that's how you put Cliff out of business, ladies and gentlemen. Exactly.
There you go.
Well, listen, I prefer the taste of NBS, so there you go.
Well, even if you did that, you're still going to deal with dyes and everything else, in the product and, additives and things that your body doesn't want to process on race day, right, in the heat. We're sitting here, we're talking, we can drink anything and be okay. Once you start putting your body under stress, and the three main stressors of racing, you're looking at exercise itself, which causes internal heat, external heat from the sun, and then possibly altitude. All three of those things are going to affect the way that your body processes calories. And there are things within products that affect the way you absorb and process them. And one of them is preservatives and additives and dyes and all that other stuff. So you still got to, deal with that if you choose to dilute your Gatorade.
Yeah. So we've got one strategy in terms of negotiating an oops, let's say, on a day. What would your recommendation be if, let's say, someone just can't get calories down on race day? They get out of the swim, they get on their bike, they settle in for about 10 minutes, and they have a fueling plan and they cannot stomach anything. how do you recommend that that person get through the rest of their day? Obviously, wow, focus on hydration if they can even do that. But what would you say after that?
Well, I think the athlete would need to start running through a systematic check in their head. You know, why is your body not processing anything, right? Why has your stomach shut down?
So let's use me as a guinea pig then. Let's run through this. So I just did a race and I got out of the swim and I couldn't really eat a whole lot. So system check was, what did I eat for breakfast? How long ago did I eat it? Was it what I ate in training? Yes, it's what I ate in training. I ate it at least 3 hours before the race. I had a couple chews before I, and some water before I, you know, got in the swim, about 35 minutes before. So it's not like I had a ton of stuff sitting in my stomach. But every time I went to take something in, I would get that kind of feeling of that the food is just right at the top of my stomach, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what would the next check be?
Well, I mean, obviously, I know you raced in Boulders, and Boulder, and the swim was in a freshwater lake. But that would be one of the questions you ask yourself: did I swim in the ocean?
Mm-hmm.
So, did I possibly take a couple of extra mouthfuls of ocean water, which is quite possible? I've been there; we've done that. Any athlete that's ever raced Hanu 70.3 has probably swallowed a lot of seawater because that swim is brutal there. So if, you know, if you did race in a saltwater environment and you did consume some extra salt water on your swim, I would say start just sipping plain water to try to dilute that in your stomach and let it pass through. If not, if you did swim in a freshwater lake, freshwater body of water, I would look at what is your mindset, right? So when we talk about that brain gut connection, if you're amped up, if you're, you know, stressed, if you're, you know, all these head games that athletes play with themselves, you know,
athlete in the world.
But so, I mean, that's one of the things you have to look at. So if you're excited or nervous or anything like that, that's going to affect the way that your body processes calories or its ability to process calories at all.
So then what do I do? So let's say I'm a head case, which is true. Do I try and force calories down?
No, I think once you start doing that, you're going to add the stress of, oh my God, I need to have calories or I'm going to bonk. So then it's an additional stress, right? So then the opposite is going to happen. You're not going to process calories. Your body's just going to reject them. So I would say that you would want to take 30 minutes just to relax, take some deep breaths, sip on some water, start running through what you need to do on the bike, the things that you can control, and then say, all right, in 30 minutes, obviously you're not going to deplete your caloric stores in 30 minutes, right? You could probably get through the whole bike on what you've got in reserves, depending on the athlete, you know, and whatever else. So say, I'm not going to stress about it. I'm going to take my, you know, I'm going to take my pace down 5 beats per minute heart rate. Maybe I'll take it down 20 or 30 watts, however you're measuring that. And then just try to calm yourself, do some sort of relaxation exercise and just enjoy the day. And then reevaluate 30 minutes later. How do I feel? How is my stomach? It's a little bit better. So let me sip on, you know, my hydration and then go from there. That's one of the things I think with athletes is that we've got this plan, right? What did Mike Tyson say? Everyone's got a plan to get punched in the face, right? So you've got to know what's, you know, you need to plan for the things that you don't plan for. So when things go awry, when things go amiss, how do I fix that? And what do I do? And that's where just experience comes into play.
Well, I think I asked the question because I know so many new athletes, they don't know what they don't know, essentially, and going through these scenarios of, okay, what happens if I lose all my bottles, or what happens if I can't take hydration in, or what happens if I can't get enough calories in per hour based on the plan. I think that sometimes it's nice to run through these situations and scenarios so they have an idea of, oh, this is a way I can troubleshoot it. And I see that a lot in athletes who get to race day and we've gone through a couple different nutrition plans, or if this happens, this is what you can do. So I think that one's really common, of not being able to eat, not being able to, like, they lose a bottle and they freak out because they're not sure. Okay, what do I do? I lost a bottle of hydration. What do I do now?
Right. Well, so we'll look at this. So the last time I raced was Beach to Battleship, which is now Ironman North Carolina, which is now, it's not even a full Ironman anymore. It's 70.3. But so 2011 was the last time I raced. We had just moved to Hawaii. We came back for the race. The day before the race, it was, I don't know, 75 degrees. Weather was beautiful. We get up the morning of, it's 45 degrees, freezing cold. Was not prepared, you know, from a clothing standpoint for that. I, especially at that distance, race on all liquid calories. So went out on the bike. My hands were pretty much frozen, so I couldn't get the calories from my bottle. Right, I physically could not squeeze the bottles to get the calories out. So I essentially rode 56 miles, hammered 56 miles on half a bottle of nutrition. I had one backup Roctane gel that I took in. And then once I got onto the run, all the calories I had planned for the run, I took them in the first mile just because I was depleted. And
all of them?
All of them. And that felt great.
How many grams of carbohydrate was that?
So it was a 13 mile run. I figured I was going to be out there for an hour and 45 minutes. So it was probably, you know, 350, 400 calories.
All in one sitting. You just downed it.
The first mile.
You didn't crap your pants.
No,
apparently of an iron stomach, because I'd have been in the bushes embarrassing myself in front of everybody.
It was a mixture of CarboPro and Gatorade Prime. So, and it just sat really well in my stomach, was no issues. And, but from there, I mean, it just, things went downhill, you know, so you're so depleted.
Took a turn quickly.
Yeah. And I tried to take some stuff in on the course. It was, I think Hammer was what they were using, and my day was done. It was unfortunate, but it's one of those things that until you're in that situation, you don't really know how you're going to respond. Right. So that's why experience trumps everything.
Right? Yeah. I think that if we could probably pull any triathlete, pro, age grouper, and say, give us your best nutritional fail story. I think everyone's got at least one that is just amazing. And you learn from it. But I think that the biggest thing to remember is, again, don't go into a race trying something new, hydration being number one, which you've mentioned. And then just knowing that if you're totally bonking, your, you know, energy levels are super low and you know you've not taken any calories, and get them in and you'll feel better quickly. Apparently 400 calories worth for you, Cliff, but
it's you know, that's one of the
not
things.
Advised for everybody.
No, it's not. And this is what we know, right? So we know that science is great, but science is, it's a jumping off point, right? You can't live your life by what comes out of a lab. Because it just doesn't work. It's not the real world. It's not a real scenario. So, you know, we use science to give us an educated guess. And then from there, we have to tweak and formulate what's going to work specifically. I have female athletes that have taken 425, 450 calories per hour.
That's incredible to me.
With no GI distress. We've got guys that have gone 550, 600, right? No, with no issues. So we can look at science all day and say, that's not possible. Well, I don't give a rat's ass what science says. Like, it's, this is what it is. So, you know, this is what we tell people, don't let a study put you in a box, right? You've got to use that study of whatever it might be and say, this is where I'm going to start. And then from there, you've got to tweak it. So we had a female athlete, and we were talking one day about, the female, you know, obviously can consume less fructose than a male, and, you know, liquid calories, blah, 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 on and on and on. And she said, well, how do we, because she does a mixture of CarboPro and MBS. She does short course racing. She's like, well, how much can I take per hour? I'm like, I have no idea. She's like, well, how are we going to find out? I'm like, well, what we're going to do is we're going to start you at point X. We're going to go out. You're going to do an hour time trial on the bike, followed by a 20-minute run. and we're going to say you're going to do X amount of calories per hour. Were you okay? Yep, I was fine. We're going to bump it up, bump it up, bump it up to you either A, poop your pants or throw up, and then we're going to back it back down.
Both sound amazing.
And that's how you figure it out.
So when you did this experiment with this female, I'm curious, when did you keep track of where she was in her cycle, or did you do it every month at the same time, or did you just say we're just going to figure it out?
We didn't get that in depth as far as like tracking her cycle and everything else, but we basically said, you know, so for that, well, which one, the short course or the
short course, the one that you're trying to?
No, we just basically said it was over the course of, you know, a month or so. So once a week, did her hard brick workout.
Yeah.
Bump it up, bump it up, bump it up until she said no mas.
Yeah.
And we took it back down, and then that's where we stayed. So
how often do you recommend an athlete reevaluate their hydration and nutrition strategy? So let's say someone's not coached by me, because each season we kind of work with each athlete and just determine if they're not able to take in, you know, let's say they're on a maltodextrin fueling strategy with NBS. I have some athletes that do that. And I had one that recently, every transition run, they were just having issues. And so we changed the fueling part of it. We kept the NBS and we went to more solid food and had much more success on the transition runs, less GI issues and more energy. If someone's self-coached, or perhaps their coach doesn't give them a fueling or hydration strategy, which would be a red flag in my mind, but if they don't, how often do you recommend an athlete look at their fueling and hydration strategy, and how do you evaluate whether it's good enough? Anthony brought this up a couple podcasts ago about people just spending money on these new gadgets for their bike, but using the same nutrition they've used since the 80s or whatever it is. What would you say?
So there's a couple of different things you have to look at. So your fueling strategy needs to parallel, and this is the same thing with whole food, but whether it's whole food or race day nutrition, it has to parallel your immediate goal. So if you're doing a sprint triathlon, you're going to have a nutrition plan for that. If you're doing an Olympic, separate plan for that, half separate plan, full separate plan. Then you have to look at the environment that you're racing in. So your nutrition and hydration plan is going to vary based on sea level versus altitude. It's going to be different at, you know, a colder environment versus a warmer environment. So you, first of all, you got to have a plan for each scenario that you're going to be in. And then outside of that, I would say you want to evaluate it every 4 to 6 weeks. You know, you want to put yourself on some sort of plan, give your body a little bit of time to adapt and adjust, and then you tweak it a little bit more from there. One of the things that we don't know is how does practicing your race day nutrition on a weekly basis, how is that affecting your gut flora, your gut microbiota, right, for the race day itself? So if you were to only practice your race day nutrition once a month on your longer ride, because you're going to say, I'm only riding 2 hours today. Do I really need to consume my typical race day nutrition plan? Maybe not.
This is a very typical question I get though from athletes. So
the athlete will, even some coaches will say you don't, but you do.
But you do, yeah.
But you do. So you need to, every time you're out and you're training, you need to be training your gut. You need to be training that plan. But you also have to keep in mind that a 2-hour aerobic ride, you're going to process things much differently than you are, you know, possibly in the race. So again, I think, you know, every time you're out training, you're looking at the plan. And then every 4 to 6 weeks, you're really sitting down and you're evaluating, you're keeping some sort of data, you know, in your training log of how did I process my nutrition today? How did I feel? How did I feel the day after?
I think that's a key too. How do you feel after? And one of the tricks we taught or we try and teach our athletes is, especially when you're trying to figure out how many calories I actually took in, like what is my actual nutrition that I'm taking versus what the plan was, is writing down every single thing you take with you when you leave the house on your 2-hour bike ride, your long bike ride, whatever it is, but you have, okay, I took 5 sleeves of gel or of chews with me, or I took a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a salted jelly sandwich and three gels and then three bottles of NBS, whatever it is. Write it all down. Write down how many carbs are in each, calories, all of it. And then when you get back home, look at what's left. Subtract it, figure it out. I think that that's one of the things too, that people just don't take the time to establish. Oh, yeah. I take in 60 grams of carb an hour. I take in 300 calories an hour, or whatever it is. But then if you actually look at what comes back with them from their ride, they've got pockets full of booze and gel still, and they haven't eaten anything.
Right.
They wonder why they have an issue, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, nutrition is a very personalized aspect. That's why, you know, I'm never going to say there's a black and white to anything, because as soon as I say you can't do this, you're going to have 10 people that say, well, I do that. So it's just one of those things that you have to constantly be self-aware of what you're doing and what you're working. No one knows and understands your body better than you. We all have signs and symptoms of when things are about to go horribly wrong in our plan, right? So I know that if I'm out on the bike or if I'm running and that I can start to feel my breath on my lips, that I'm getting dehydrated, right? Yeah. So I know I need to increase my hydration. I know that if my hands get clammy, my day's done. It's too late. I'm already behind the eight ball on drinking. If weird things like Big Macs start appealing to me on the bike, then I know that I probably need to consume some calories. And I know that I'm about to bonk pretty soon. So again, it's athletes, we have these little warning signs that go off, but we don't pay attention to them. So, you know, you really need to, again, be self-aware, figure out what those warning signs are so that when they pop up, then you can say, all right, this is how I need to respond to that.
Excellent. Well, I think that this was an interesting conversation about not only why and how you started NBS, but for athletes who might be newer or struggling with, I just can't figure out how to make this work, or I don't even know what I need to know. I think these were some interesting tips and answers. So thank you for answering my questions today. I feel like a little bit of a rookie here since I've not been on one of these podcasts yet. So hopefully this is only slightly painful for you guys to listen to on my behalf, Cliff. It was lovely chatting with you as always. And stay tuned next week, guys. We've got a couple of really cool episodes coming up in the next couple of weeks. So keep following NBS and Breakthrough Nutrition. This was NBS Nutrition, a no bullshit look at sports nutrition.
Thanks, Lauren.